Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 11, Text Number 19. Pashya Pashya Vayas Yams Chite Matri Mristan Swalan Kritan Twam Chasnata Kritaharo Viharaswa Swalan Kritaha. Somebody could chant. Machichis. Word for word? Huh? What's that? Pasya, pasya. Just see, just see. Vayasyan. Boys of your age. Te. Your. Matrimastan. Cleansed by their mothers. Sualankritan. Decorated with nice ornaments. Twamcha. You also. Snantaha. After taking a bath. Krita aharaha. And eating your lunch. Viharaswa. Enjoy with them. Sualankritaha. Fully decorated like them. Translation. Just see how all your playmates of your own age have been cleansed and decorated with beautiful ornaments by their mothers. You should come here, and after you have taken your bath, eaten your lunch, and been decorated with ornaments, you may play with your friends again. Purport. Generally, young boys are competitive. If one friend has done something, another friend also wants to do something. Therefore, Mother Yashoda pointed out how Krishna's playmates were so decorated so that Krishna might be induced to decorate himself like them. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Bastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskachate Shatarane. So in this pastime of Krishna, Mother Yasoda is trying to have Krishna come back and become decorated, and she wants Krishna to compete with his friends. So this competition is there in the spiritual world amongst Krishna's boyfriends, among Krishna and the gopis, even with Krishna himself. Just like Mother Yashoda, she was competing with Krishna. She was trying to bind Krishna with the rope. So there was a competition going on between Krishna and his devotee. And out of love, because Mother Yasoda has pure love for Krishna, then Krishna agreed to be bound up by Mother Yasoda. And also we find Krishna's boyfriends, the cowherd boys in the forest of Vrindavan. Sometimes Krishna would go to a distant place to see some particular scenery, and the cowherd boys, they would compete with each other. One cowherd boy would say, "I'm going to go to Krishna and touch him first." And the other cowherd boy would say, "I will go and I will touch him first." So in this way, there is competition. And this competition is also found among the wives of Krishna. Once Narada Muni came from the heavenly planets, and he gave one Parijata flower to Rukmini Devi, the chief queen of Lord Krishna. And because of this, his other wife, Satyabhama, developed an inferiority complex. So Krishna, knowing the competitive womanly nature of his wives, asked her, "Why do you only want one flower? I'm prepared to give you a whole tree," like that. So amongst Krishna's devotees, they simply want to serve Krishna. They don't want anything from Krishna. They just want to serve him. So this creates a kind of, Krishna's kind of in debt to them. And so he simply smiles. He smiles in happiness. And the devotees, when they see Krishna smiling, they become enlivened. And when Krishna sees his devotees are enlivened, then he becomes satisfied. And so in this way, there is a constant competition between rendering service and acknowledgement of that service. So the gopis, when Krishna sees the beauty of the gopis, his beauty, also, this is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, that when Krishna sees the beauty of the gopis, he becomes more beautiful. And when the gopis see Krishna's beauty, they become more beautiful. In this way, there is a constant competition going on where no one knows or accepts defeat. So, even in Krishna's case, this is mentioned in the Krishna book, I believe it's in the Prayers of the Personified Vedas, that Krishna's knowledge is unlimited, and his energies and qualities are unlimited. So, as soon as Krishna has some cognizance of his qualities and his energies, then he perceives that they have increased. He has more qualities, his energies have increased. So in this way, there is constant competition on that level. So, there's competition going on between Krishna and his devotees, because in the spiritual world, the devotees simply give service. They don't want to take service from Krishna. They simply want to offer him service. But Krishna he wants to offer service to the devotees. So in this way, there is competition going on in that way. Srila Prabhupada gives an example of Rupa Goswami. He was thinking of making some nice preparations, and this 12-year-old girl came to him, and she offered to give him some nice items so that he could cook nicely, because the residents in Vrindavan, they knew some sadhu was there, and they would supply him like that. So in this way, he cooked a nice feast, and he invited Sanatana Goswami to come to that. And then afterwards, Sanatana Goswami asked him, how did you make such a nice feast? And he said, oh, there was this very beautiful girl. She came and supplied all these things, and he explained, how she, her appearance like that. And he said, oh, you had, that was Radharani, you had her come in and serve you. Oh, this is a great blunder. So in this way, a devotee does not want to take service from Krishna, but Krishna or his eternal companion like that, but Krishna is always looking for an opportunity to serve him. So the beauty and glories of the devotees, no one can compete with them. There's no competition. Even Lord Shiva told his wife Parvati, he told her that my dear wife Parvati, you have beautiful bodily features, and you are very glorious, but you cannot compete with the beauty and the glories of the devotees of the Lord, who are servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Lord Shiva told this to Lord Shiva told this to his wife Parvati after she cursed Dhritaketu. He was making fun of Lord Shiva, and there was some misunderstanding, and Parvati cursed him, and he simply accepted that curse. He did not retaliate. So in this way, it is stated that he was more powerful than even Parvati because of the power of his humility. So this is the nature of a pure devotee of the Lord. So in this competitive nature, the transcendental competition is transcendental because there is no like envy like there is in the material world. Because everything is centered around Krishna, and if one devotee does some nice service, then that's very much appreciated by the other devotee. They think that I simply want to attain to that perfection, like that. In this way, the devotees serve Krishna, and there may be some disagreement or, you know, anger, but since Krishna is the center, it's all transcendental. And there's another kind of competition of devotees, is that they praise other devotees of the Lord, and by praising other devotees of the Lord, then one is elevated to the topmost platform of devotional service. So this is a kind of competition to look for the good of others, to praise devotees, and devotees always thinking that the other devotees, they are performing nicer service than him. It is stated in the spiritual world that those devotees that are contemporary devotees, that they see that they're doing better service than they are. Whereas in the material world, everybody's thinking that I'm doing the best thing. So, in this way, we have to understand competition. One devotee they were talking about preaching work, and the Prabhupada said our motto is slowly but surely, and class better than mass. So in our preaching activities, we have to slowly but surely follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and this way things will be successful. And as far as class goes, we have to be very strict and not water down the process of Krishna consciousness. Like the spiritual master says, follow the four regular principles, chant 16 rounds. And so we cannot make a compromise. Oh, you could chant only 8 rounds, or you can only follow so many principles. No, those who get initiated, they have to strictly follow. But everybody else, of course, we preach Krishna consciousness, we distribute books, we invite them to the temple. But if you want to purchase Krishna, then you have to pay the price. Just like if you want to go to an expensive jewelry shop, you have to pay the price. So the price is surrender. We have to surrender. We have to follow Krishna's instructions. And so in this letter, Prabhupada is also mentioning that the devotee was concerned about how other Christian groups are getting many followers. But Prabhupada said in this connection that never mind, competition is a good thing. He said that anything could be anything could be used in Krishna consciousness if it is utilized properly. So in this way, even competition for the Krishna conscious movement in this mature world can be utilized properly to preach the glories of Krishna. So in this competition, like I mentioned, transcendental competition, we have to work together, we have to spread Krishna consciousness together. Not that we fight, you know, disagreement is there in Krishna consciousness, but we cannot it cannot come to the point where we discourage the preaching mission. Prabhupada gave the example of a father. He was very old, and he required to be massaged. So his children wanted to massage him. So he had some of his children massage his right side, and some of his children massage his left side. But in their competition, they were hitting their father, and their father said, "Why are you doing this? You're in your opposition. You are killing me." So, so Srila Prabhupada mentions that we have our different departments, and we should not argue with one another. Otherwise, the preaching my preaching ambitions will be disrupted like that. So in this way, we have to preach Krishna consciousness and work together like that. So in preaching Krishna consciousness, the Brahminical class, our society is a preaching movement. The Brahmins, they have six types of activities. They learn Vedic knowledge, they preach Vedic knowledge, they worship the deity, they teach others how to worship the deity, they give charity, and they accept charity. So in this way, they make brahmanas. They shouldn't think that, if I make brahmanas, then there'll be competition. No, brahmana does not think like that. He makes other devotees of Krishna. Prabhupada was mentioning this, and he was saying, just like in Hyderabad, there was some discussion, or they came to me, and they were saying, you are making these Europeans and these Americans brahmanas. This is not good. And Prabhupada said, why this is not good? So there was some discussion that went on like that. But we understand from the Vedic literature that Brahman is known as by his qualities and work, not by his birth. And that's according to Shastra, we accept that, and we preach that, and in this way we make others brahmanas, others devotees of the Lord. So in this preaching mission, Prabhupada also mentions how sometimes there's anger and there's envy. But because this is such an important thing to spread Krishna consciousness, to deliver the fallen souls, that that the devotees, they put aside their differences and they cooperate with one another to preach Krishna consciousness. So it's natural that there's always disagreements. It's because we are individuals, but we have to understand the importance of preaching Krishna consciousness and work together to preach. So this human life is meant for serving Krishna. We shouldn't engage in material competition. as Prabhupada mentions, we should even compete with the dog or the animals. The animals, they engage in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So if we try to compete with them, then we will lose this opportunity that is awarded to us in this human form of life to become free from this bodily conception and go back to home, back to Godhead. And actually, you cannot compete with the animals. Just like the elephant could eat so much food, some birds, they engage in so much sex life. The bears, they could sleep for so many months of the year. So we cannot compare with these animals. So those who try to, we can understand that they are actually animals themselves, simply two-legged animals. So this competition is there, material competition is there because of envy. Originally, the envy is there because we were envious of Krishna. We wanted to compete with Krishna. We wanted to become Krishna. And because of that envy, we come to this material world and we try to compete with one another to become Krishna. I want to be the supreme. I want to be the supreme leader. So this is because of the original envy with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is the Supreme Lord. As mentioned in the Bhagavatam, there is a kingdom where only one man lives. So in this kingdom, there is a king who has no competitor. You cannot compete with Krishna. Krishna is unlimited, and we are limited. The definition of God is there is no one equal to or greater than him. Everybody is lower than him. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So because of this competitive spirit with Krishna, we have fallen down into this material world. We are thinking, why is Krishna performing the rasa dance? I also want to perform the rasa dance. Why does Krishna have 16,000 queens? I want at least 16 wives. So this mentality causes us to fall down into the material world where we can become a false competitor. We cannot compete with Krishna, but we can imagine that we can compete with him. So everything in this material world is an imitation of Krishna's activities. So whatever we see is simply imitation, but it becomes perverted when it comes in contact with the three modes of material nature. Just like water falls from the sky, it's very pure, but as soon as it touches the land, it becomes muddy. Like that. So as soon as we contact the material energy, the three modes of material nature, then we become covered over. We forget Krishna. We come in contact with the modes of material nature through our senses. Everything, there's nothing beyond these three modes of material nature. Whatever we eat, just like Prabhupada gave the example of, there was one king, and he had a guest house, and he invited all the brahmanas to come to his guest house. And he came there, and he had a store, and they could get whatever they needed for the store. And then the storekeeper would mark down, you know, which brahmana, what did they purchase. So, and he looked at the list and he could see who was a brahmana and who was not a brahmana. Because those who like sweets, those are the brahmanas. They like sweets. Sugar is in the mode of goodness. And those who like chilies, they're in the mode of ignorance. And those who like salt, they are in the mode of passion. So in this way, he got rid of the so-called brahmanas. So this is according to the modes of material nature. Of course, we have to be careful not that we think that, oh, sweets are in the mode of goodness, therefore I could eat so many sweets. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of an ant. An ant eats one grain of sugar and becomes intoxicated. So by eating too many sweets, you become intoxicated. Therefore, too many sweets are prohibited. By intoxication, of course, we know this is one of the qualities of the mode of ignorance. So depending upon what you accept or how much you accept, you become influenced by the three modes of material nature. So the scientists are creating so many things for sense gratification, so many inventions, and this is creating unnecessary competition in the world. People are fighting for all these different machines, for all these different gadgets, and because of this, creates a situation in the world where there's not even sufficient food and clothing for the people. So all these materialistic objects and ideas simply deviate people from the goal of life of going back to home, back to God, and of Krishna's plan of simple living and high thinking. They simply create these things which distract the people in general. People try to compete with one another. Probably gave the example of colonization, how the different countries, was England, Spain, Portugal, France, and Holland, they tried to colonize different parts of the world. For 200 years they were trying to colonize. But this is against the principles of Sri Isha Upanishad. One simply should accept that which is allotted to one as allotted to one. One shouldn't take from others. One should be satisfied in this way. So because of this competitive nature, everybody wants to be the supreme. And this way there's fighting going on. And probably in a lecture in 72, he was talking about, I think he was referring to the United States, because most of his disciples were Americans, some Europeans. And he was saying that in your country, they're fighting to become the supreme ruler. This was back in 72. And because of this, there's so much violence. So this competitive nature causes so much violence in the material realm. And therefore, there is need of a class of rulers, real kshatriyas, to control the violence. So the capitalists or the devotees, they want to have a competitiveless society where people accept what they need without undue endeavor. But the socialists, they say they want a competitionless society also, but this is an artificial attempt because there's competition to become the head man, the dictator. So this is an artificial attempt. Real competitive, competitionless or material competition can be destroyed by surrendering to Krishna, to making Krishna the center. So in the various varnas, there was no competition between one varna and the other. Everybody had their means of livelihood. They didn't compete with one another. And people, they would work, and they, and like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, fourth chapter, that you should work and be satisfied with gain which comes of its own accord. So this is the formula that Krishna gives. Not that the labor class should think that, oh, the capitalists are getting so much money, we are doing all the work, they're getting all the money. No, we should divide the money up among ourselves. This will never give them happiness. This probably explains this is like going from the frying pan into the fire. One should be satisfied with that thing which comes easily. Otherwise, one will never be happy. One has to work. Of course, one has to work. One has to try his best. But one shouldn't strain oneself. And we have to understand that everybody is destined to gain something or lose something according to their karma. So if one has very little money, then that's one's karma. One should accept that. And this way, one will be happy. And one shouldn't work too hard. Prabhupada mentions in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that one should, for one's livelihood, one should work no more than 8 hours a day. That simply, no more than 8 hours a day. But the materialists, they're engaging so many hours, working so hard. They're rising early in the morning. We are rising early in the morning, and they are rising early in the morning to go to work. Sometimes they are flying in an airplane from one place to another to go to work. Like I know for myself, my father, he would work in the studio. He was a lighting director, and he would wake up early in the. Sometimes he would wake up early in the morning and go to work, and he would go on the stage. And he was there all day long on the stage working. And so he would go there before the sun would rise, and then would come out from work and the sun was already set. So in this way, he went and see the sun all day long like that, working so hard. So what time do they have to hear about Krishna? Prabhupada said people should work 8 hours a day utmost, and then they could come back in the evening and hear and chant about Krishna, either in the afternoon or in the evening. So without this opportunity to hear a chant about Krishna, one will not be able to get out of this material world. So we can stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments on any of these points? Yes?
Yadricha lava santushto, to be happy with gain of that comes of its own accord, because I found that to be very true. You know, when I got my credentials trying to become a teacher, and you know, just as working in the classroom 16 hours a day and planning and then carrying the job the other rest of the time in your head, is just the consciousness is really, really destroying your life. You know, so now I, even though it's still like 10 hours, I just do like day contract jobs. Mm-hmm. And it's been much better to try and increase the amount of Krishna consciousness and just try to be satisfied and make do with what comes easily in life. So thank you for that. And nice, just wanted to thank you for making reference to the colonialism and all that Ugra karma and some of Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, that as soon as we make a plan for happiness, that's when our miserable life begins. As soon as we do that. So if we just are happy with what comes according to what Krishna supplies to us and make do with that, and then work on our Krishna consciousness, which is actually the progress we can make, because everybody ultimately in the material world on a material level is a loser, because you lose everything, including this body. But your Krishna consciousness is where you can actually make a difference. So just thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else has anything to say? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga.